Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm going to be speaking the next couple of weeks about the Spirit-filled life and how you can live that life and live a life of excitement and live a life of commitment to the Lord and go forth in boldness and in confidence and not be in fear and make a mark for the kingdom here on this earth and make a blessing for your life here on this earth. And so you'll want to stay tuned for this message today and next couple of weeks. And we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled life and how you can get started in it if you're just a baby believer. And this is the path that you should choose. If you've been a mature believer, you can always give more to the Lord. You can always surrender more. You can also pick up your cross. You can always pick up your cross and carry it more. And so it's going to be appropriate for each and every person out there listening today. Well, in Acts 4:29, the disciples had just been released from jail. And they had, when they came out of Pentecost, they had the excitement and the zeal, and they were wanting to share the message. And the first thing that happened was in the third chapter of Acts, they prayed for a man who'd been lame from his mother's womb, and I'll talk about that more in just a minute. But he had been lame for many years. He was over 40 years old. And so they prayed for the man, and he was given his strength to walk, strength to jump, strength to run and rejoice. And so they were arrested. Peter and John were arrested. The officials, the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them and laid hands on them and put them in jail. And so in Acts 4:29, then we take a look at this scripture that Peter is speaking, and he says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so that is the first point I want to make today, is the hallmark characteristic of a Spirit-filled life is that you are ready to speak the word of God in boldness. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul tells Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind." And beloved, you can be assured that when you're speaking out in the name of Jesus Christ, when you're speaking out for the kingdom of God, that God is with you, that God has your back, that he has covered your rear guard, and that you have nothing to fear, and that you can go forward in boldness and speak the word of God to those who don't know it. You can speak the word of God to the enemies of the kingdom. You can speak the word of God to those who are willing and hungry to hear. But in every situation, you can speak with boldness, because the Spirit of the living God gives you that boldness to speak out in his behalf. In 1 John 4:18, John tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." In 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God," or you could say, "For God is love, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And so going back to the theme that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. When you have the authority and the ability to preach or to teach or to share the gospel, when you have that ability and that authority, if you do not do that, if you just sit on it, there has to be some fear holding you back. There has to be some torment holding you back. And let me tell you, beloved, the devil will always come against you to try to keep you from sharing the gospel. The devil will always give you reasons why not to testify your testimony, and why not to share your testimony. And the devil will always give you reasons to shrink back in fear. But perfect love casts out fear. And what John means by this is when you love those for whom the message is intended, when you love those for whom you are intended to speak, then that perfect love casts out any fear that may come because you know that they need to know about the love of Jesus Christ. They need to know about God's love for them. They need to know that Jesus Christ died for them on the cross. They need to know that he shed his perfect, precious blood for them. And so as you love those people, and as you understand God's will for those people, then you know that when you speak, God is going to cover any persecution that may come your way. God is going to cover any failures on your own behalf or on your own part that you may incur, or that may be part of your delivery, your message, the words that you speak. But perfect love casts out fear. When you love people enough that you're willing to maybe be humiliated, maybe to look like a fool for Jesus, maybe step out in ways that are uncomfortable for you, maybe even dangerous for you. But when you love people enough that you want to share the gospel with them, then fear will not dominate you, and fear will not hold you back, and you will be able to share the gospel with them. I can remember one time on a trip to Mexico, we took 15 or so people down there to build a house there in Juarez, and one lady told me after we came home and after the finish of the trip, she said, "Jim, I was afraid that I would not be able to love those people. I was afraid that I would not be able to touch them and embrace them because I thought they were too dirty. I thought they were too poor." But she said just the opposite happened when I came down there or went down there, and I saw them and I saw their plight and how friendly and fun-filled they were and how much they enjoyed life and rejoiced in every, even the smallest little things. I couldn't stop loving them. I couldn't stop reaching out and touching them. I couldn't stop embracing them, because perfect love casts out fear. And so when you love people enough that you're willing to sacrifice your comfort, when you love people enough that you're willing to step out in ways that in your natural you wouldn't step out, you might go to some people in your ministry that in your natural life you wouldn't do that, but because God gives you the love for them, perfect love casts out fear. You're no longer afraid that you're going to catch something from them. You're no longer afraid that somehow you're going to be rejected, that you're going to be seen a failure. And so perfect love casts out fear. Your love for them is the same love that God has for them. And your love is born out of your love for Jesus Christ. It's also born out of the fact that Jesus Christ loved you when you were still yet a sinner, when you were imperfect, when you were full of flaws, and you cared nothing about the kingdom of God, and you didn't understand anything. Jesus still loved you. He still cared about you, and he still went to the cross for you to cover your sins. And so that perfect love that Jesus has for us, when you abide in him, when you step out and minister on his behalf, that perfect love that Jesus has for you is that very same love then that you can share with someone else, that same love that you can lavish on someone else, and that love then casts out fear. Well, secondly, the hallmark of a Spirit-filled life is that you speak your confession, your testimony. And so we all have a testimony. We all have a confession to make, and you know, they say that without a test, there is no testimony. And so each time you go through trials and you see God show up for you, and each time you go through tribulation, you see God deliver you from the mouth of the lion, and each time you are given some kind of test, and that increases your testimony. It builds your faith, and it gives you strength then to speak out. It gives you more ammunition, you might say, and more successes, which you can tell people what a great and mighty God has delivered you, what a great and mighty God has shown up for you in times of your stress and in times of duress. A great and mighty God has delivered you from the mouth of the enemy, from the hand of the enemy. And so that is God's will, that you share your testimony. 1 John 4:2, By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And so you have a confession. If you are a born-again believer, you have a confession to make. Revelation 19 tells us that the spirit of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, and that is the spirit of your testimony. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, and so you have a prophetic vision for the future that comes from Jesus. You speak into the future, your hope for the future, your desire for the future, and that comes from Jesus Christ, and that is part of your testimony, that he gave you hope, that he gave you a desire to live. And when the devil came against you and tried to kill you through sickness or some other calamity or some other circumstance in life, that Jesus gave you the desire to live. Jesus gave you the hope that is necessary to carry on from day to day. And so, beloved, that is what God wants you to share. He wants you to share your testimony, that you can attest to the fact that Jesus Christ is real, that you can attest to the fact that Jesus Christ loves you, and that he died for you, and that there is a message in your testimony for other people. And God wants you to share it, and he wants you to share that Jesus Christ is real in your life. I prayed for a lady a while back, and I was able to pray for her, and I asked the Lord to reveal himself to her, because she wasn't sure about if Jesus is real or not. She had questions about her faith. She had questions about salvation. And I said, well, I'll just pray for you that God will reveal himself, or Jesus will reveal himself to you, and then you will know that he is real. And so I saw her recently. I asked her if Jesus revealed himself to her, and she said, well, not in any specific way, in a dream or a vision or anything like that, but my depression is gone. My depression has been lifted. And I said, well, that is the revealing of him right there, is that he came to you and he showed you, as a result of our prayer, that you have been delivered of depression. And that is the testimony right there, that he healed you, that he saved you, that he lifted you up out of the miry clay. That is your testimony. And so I encouraged her then to tell other people that Jesus has done this for me, to let other people know that Jesus then is real in her life. Well, the spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well here in America, and there's plenty of testimony to that. There's plenty of testimony to the fact that the devil's kingdom is ruling and reigning and running amok here amongst us here on this earth. Just recently, I heard about a bill that has been introduced into the California State Legislature, and basically they're saying that Bible colleges in California cannot basically speak and preach the Word of God in their curriculum. They cannot require people to take Bible study courses. I mean, it's just a complete dismantling of everything that a Bible college stands for. And so this is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's alive and well, and it's very strong as we move into the end times and go spiraling towards those last days when Jesus comes back, when he raptures the church and sets up his millennial reign here on this earth. Then we know that the spirit of the Antichrist is going to have its culminating moment. And the Antichrist himself is going to take his place in the temple in the middle of the tribulation. And so we're going to see a culmination of all things here on this earth. But, beloved, the spirit of the living God is here as well, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so that big God that is in you can take care of that little he that is in the world. And so God wants you to give your testimony. He wants you to tell other people about what God has done for you. He wants you to tell other people what Jesus Christ means to you. And so get started speaking. Speak out with boldness and with confidence. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear cause you to shrink back. And as you do that, God will bless you, he will strengthen you, and he will show you more ways in which he is real, to after a while you won't even think about it. You'll just say, yes, 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 this is Jesus Christ, and this is what he has done for me. And you will be more than happy and more than willing to share your testimony with those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, the third aspect that I want to talk about the Spirit-filled life, is that signs, wonders, and miracles will be a part of your life. I think you should have an expectation for signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe you should have an expectation each and every day that God is going to do something miraculous for you. If you don't get that mindset about you today, that God wants to do something miraculous for you today. Today is the day of miracles. I know in the past when we read through the Bible, there were many miracles in the Bible, and so we tend to think maybe that was the age of miracles, and it certainly was. But God also wants to do miracles in your life. He wants to do signs and wonders in your life, and the signs and the wonders point to Jesus Christ. The miracles point to the power of God. The miracles point to the majesty and the awesome nature of God. And so each and every day you have an expectation for signs, wonders, and miracles, for God to do something unusual in your life, for God to do something extraordinary in your life. And if you get up each and every day with that expectation, beloved, you're going to see some things that in your natural eyes you don't believe they could be happening. In your natural eyes you say, this just can't be. But because God is a God of miracles, and you believe for miracles, and you have the faith for miracles, you're going to see God do some amazing and some incredible things. Well, back to Acts 4, verse 30, Peter says, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And so Peter had an expectation for miracles. Of course, he had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and so he had seen the miracles of Jesus, and he had seen miracles that he performed himself. But if you also have the Spirit of the living God in you, and you accept the fact that God is able to do through you the same miracles that he was able to do through the disciples, if you accept that fact and start to believe for that fact, you're going to see miracles in your life as well. In John 14, verse 10, Jesus said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works or the miracles themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so Jesus told the disciples that you're going to be able to do even greater works than I do. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And so, beloved, if you believe for the greater works, if you believe for miracles, Jesus said, you're going to do even greater works. And I don't think that means quality-wise, because Jesus raised people from the dead, and he gave sight to the blind, and he made the lame to walk. But in quantity, because Jesus' ministry was quite short, in quantity, you can perform greater works than Jesus did. You can do works of miracles for many years, but it's not your power. You just ask the Lord for it. He's already given you the power, and you just ask the Lord for it, and you believe for miracles, and you will see miracles come into your life. Well, in Acts 2:22, it says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested or testified to you by God by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. And so Jesus Christ was attested to us by the miracles, signs, and wonders. In other words, he was attested to us as God's Son, by the miracles, signs, and wonders. And so also you can attest to others in the unbelieving world, or even in the believing world for that matter, to stir up their faith and encourage their faith. You can attest to them that Jesus Christ was a man of signs, wonders, and miracles, that God is powerful, and that he still wants to do signs, wonders, and miracles in this day, in 2016. He still wants to do signs, wonders, and miracles, and he will use whoever he can, and whoever believes, and whoever has faith for that, he will use them to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Many people say, well, Jim, we don't have that in America anymore. People just don't believe for miracles. But in Africa and other places, they believe for it and they see it. Well, that may be true to some extent, although I believe the day and time is coming when people in America are desperate enough that they're going to cry out for signs, wonders, and miracles. They're desperate enough, they're going to cry out for Jesus, and they will also believe for signs, wonders, and miracles. And it won't just be the poor people of Africa who don't have doctors and who don't have money and don't have material possessions that are believing for miracles. It will be people here in America. And so I encourage you, beloved, to believe for miracles in your life. Let that be a part of your testimony when God grant you a miracle or shows you something miraculous. Let that be a part of your testimony, that you can tell other people what a mighty and powerful God we serve. In Acts 3, verse 2, Peter and John, immediately after they received the blessings of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they immediately began to see signs, wonders, and miracles in their ministry. And in verse 2 in chapter 3, it says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, and who, when seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them, that is, the lame man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was the same man who was sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And so God's will is that we pray for people and lay hands on them and expect signs, wonders, and miracles. God's will is that we pray for ourselves and for our children, for our families, and believe for signs, wonders, and miracles, so that all would be in wonder, and all would be in amazement, and all would say, oh, what a great and awesome and mighty God we serve. And so God's will is that you believe for signs, wonders, and miracles to point the way towards Jesus, to point the way toward the mighty God, and the God who works miracles, and the God who has the power to heal, and to raise the dead, and to heal the sick, and to cleanse the lepers, and to cast out demons. And so that is God's will, and that is part of a Spirit-filled life. God confirms his word through signs, wonders, and miracles. That is the way he confirms his word. And beloved, if you will incorporate that into your spirit and get that down into your spirit, that God still wants to do that today in 2016. He wants to do it in your life. He wants to do it in the life of the people of your family, your co-workers, people that you mix with and mingle with each and every day. And so signs, wonders, and miracles will definitely be a part of the Spirit-filled life. Well, beloved, I'm in Africa. As you hear me speak today, I'm in Africa. I believe for signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe I'm going to see some today. I believe I've already seen some in the crusades that we have preached over here. And so I believe that signs, wonders, and miracles are for every believer. They're for every place on this earth where believers set their foot. And it's not just for Africa. It's not just for India and the poor nations of the earth. It's for America. It's for every nation. It's for every tribe and tongue and person. God is no respecter of persons, and so signs, wonders, and miracles will be a part of your life as well. Well, beloved, we would like to have your support for the great missions that are going on here and the crusades that are being preached here in Africa, for the orphanage project out at Mumias that I have been working on while I'm here, and I appreciate your support. I appreciate you praying for us and praying for the good outcome of the crusades and a great outcome for the orphanage project, and I pray that you would sit down today, write out a check to Gather the Outcast Ministry. Let us know that you appreciate these broadcasts. Let us know that you appreciate this ministry and that you want to partner with us and help move the kingdom of God forward with your partnership with Gather the Outcast. Stay tuned for contact information coming up right after the end of this broadcast. And we thank you again for listening. Thank you, and God bless you. Have a good week.